The Rove and Sam Catch-Up.
Hello, podcasters. Your favourite show is about to begin, but what if you could listen to it without having to worry about using data? Your exclusive podcast offer is here. Now that you've pressed play on us, head to ilovedata.com.au and get 50 gigs of data every month for $59.95. No contracts, no catches. ilovedata.com.au. Go on, open up your browser. And now, catch up with the guys.
Chitty, chitty, chat, 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 chat.
I don't know if I trust Shredders.
Shredders?
There's a...
not like the, Jamie.
Not the...
What?
What are you talking about?
I'm not talking about Jamie looking great, and I'm not talking about the supervillain from Ninja Turtles. Because let's be clear, no one trusts him.
No.
That goes without saying. There's a big bin here that if you have sensitive material, what are you doing?
Trying to get my phone case off.
What are you? Why?
So I can clean it.
What, the phone case or the phone?
The phone, like underneath, so I can clean out all the stuff that would slip in.
What's slipping in? Isn't the
like jams?
Here's the thing. If right now you are struggling to get the phone case cover off,
yeah,
what does that say about what could possibly have gotten in?
But look in the cracks.
But it doesn't mean it's gotten in.
Don't know. Don't touch it.
Are you really that? Are you that bad?
Yeah. I just feel gross. I don't want to carry this around. Okay, Shredders.
No. I want to see what's in it.
I can't get this bloody thing off. I'm going to break my nails.
There's a big bin here. It looks like a normal size sort of household bin that you put your stuff in for the council to come and get.
Yeah.
And it's got a lock on it. Wait a minute.
Got it.
It's off. It's off.
See?
Give me a look.
Oh, sorry.
You started wiping.
See, it's got stuff under it.
It's pretty disgusting.
See?
Ugh. What is that miscellaneous stain?
I don't know.
Why do you have a miscellaneous stain on your phone?
I don't know, guys.
Oh, it looks like a juice thing.
Ew.
What have you juiced in your phone?
Why is there juice in my phone?
Look at this. Look at that circle of grime.
I know.
Have you heard about the latest fad in Japan?
Yeah.
It's you get a see-through iPhone case.
Yeah.
And you put an Evian bottle logo in it, and then you decorate it with your own personal style and taste.
What?
It's the weirdest thing. And apparently Evian is like 3% of the market in Japan. It's not even close to their number one bottle maker. But it's one of those weird things where the Japanese embracing something from the Western world, they get really excited about
it.
And so, yeah, the latest trend is you have an Evian logo with, you know, sparkles and Hello Kitty and little love hearts on the back of your phone case. Check it out. It's the weirdest thing. And no one knows why.
Don't even know why.
There's YouTube clips of how to make your own. There's selfies galore that people have taken in front of mirrors and what have you to show off their phone cases. There's ones being sold that people are sort of turning them into little marketing opportunities where they're making them themselves. It's bloody hilarious.
It's weird over there.
Phones feel so weird without their case, don't they?
Oh, my God. Doesn't it suddenly feel like the smallest and lightest thing in the world?
It's so thin.
Yeah. But you wouldn't run the risk.
Rose gold's pretty easy.
Would you run the... Why did you get a rose... Isn't it funny? You get a rose gold only to get a cover that... Oh, you got the matching rose gold cover. So it looks like it's
But
nude.
What were you going to say about Shredders?
So the bin. Looks like a normal council bin.
Yep.
It is locked. And it has a tiny sort of postal slot in the top.
Yeah.
And it is made for sensitive materials.
Oh, yeah.
That you put in there and they say, so if you want to shred it because it's got personal details or stuff you don't want people to know, maybe it's an inter-office memo telling everyone how much you hate one particular person, whatever it might be, you put it in the little slot, they wheel it out and it gets shredded or burnt or they put it in a mouse's cage or something.
Yeah, right. Some sicko just reads it all.
Exactly right. I just put something in there.
Oh, sorry, I turned my mic on. Amy, can you tell one of the producers the hotline is ringing?
Oh, who could that be?
Don't know. Do you want to answer it?
Yeah, let's find out.
Right. Goldie Hawn.
Could be.
Maybe she just called in early. An hour early.
Hello, this is Rove and Sam.
Yes, hi. This is Hit Network.
Yes, who's this?
We are calling from Goldie Hawn's office. We just want to make sure that your lines are working and this is the right number to call for an interview.
It is absolutely right. So still checking the time is for, it's about an hour from now?
4:30 California time. Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we'll be all set at our end.
Okay, we'll call you in an hour. Thank you so much.
Okay, tell Goldie we're very excited, looking forward to it.
Okay, and she's going to talk to... Ross McManus and Sam Frost.
She is the lucky devil. That's us, okay. By the way. You're talking to I'm the Rove one, and Sam's also here too.
Hi, I'm female.
Hi, guys. So nice to meet you. Great. So awesome. We'll talk to you in an hour then.
Can't wait.
Perfect.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for checking.
Can we get
the
you
line.
Anything while you're waiting?
Excuse me?
That's all right. Just checking if you need anything while we're waiting.
No, we are all good. Thank
okay,
you so
great.
Much.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, bye, guys. Talk to you soon.
Spoiler alert, Chitty Chatters, we're talking to Goldie Hawn today.
Cool, that's fun.
You know my favourite part of that? Is that Hit Network? My response, I don't know. I think so.
Do we work for Hit Network?
I'm not really sure what we are.
I get really confused.
We have a funny logo.
I thought Fox FM.
We have a funny logo. Depends where you are in the country, I suppose. Man, I'm carrying the mic Freddie Mercury style today. It is heavy.
Shredder.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so the thing is...
Just quickly, can someone please bring in a squirt of Dettol for me?
Just a squirt.
Okay, go.
Like,
do you trust that the squirt is going to be on... Like, it's probably going to be on someone's hand.
That's all right.
Would you use...
No, they're bringing the whole bottle in. God, they're good.
Well, I put a bottle in here for us because we touched...
Where did it go?
I touched jackass people today.
Ew, that's foul.
It is a bit.
From
Thank
here.
Thank you, Sonia. Yeah.
Thank you, Sonia.
Jamie, oh, so it is
You know
ours.
What Sonia does? She puts like a little squirt on like someone's mouse and all that. So when you sit back at your computer, if you were to touch your mouse, you
it's
go,
sticky.
Oh, what's that?
It's sticky.
I appreciate that.
And then I yell out, oh, you got cheese on your mouse.
That sounds like Sonia. That sounds like Sonia. Welcome to the team, Sonia.
Sonia.
I don't know how they did without you. Yeah, so there's a bin. It's got a slot on the top. Sensitive material that says put it in. Now, if I work for that company, wouldn't it be worth your while? I know you're going to say, but yeah. It's like working at a chocolate factory. You eat five chocolates and after a week you can't eat anymore. You work in one of those places, you must have so many bins with so much material coming through and not
Absolutely
enough time.
Absolutely, you would read it.
But just one in every, I don't know how many, pick it up, have a look. If it's getting shredded, it's doing it for a reason. I would really, really like to know where it goes, who looks at it. Does it really get shredded? Does it just get shoved in all the other recyclables? And why wouldn't you look through it?
Oh,
why wouldn't
it's
you
like,
look through
it's
it?
It's like real estate agents. Like, they definitely go through your house.
What?
Like, they definitely look through your drawers and stuff. Yeah, for sure. Are you joking? Of course I do.
Wait a minute. Oh. Since when?
Of course. Are you kidding? They're going through your stuff, Rob. I'm sorry to say.
Hang on. Why are they going through my stuff?
Because they're sneaky.
I would say that...
His Superman undies.
Nah, I would do that, but...
Man,
I would definitely have a look at their photos, have a little wristle around.
I hide sensitive pharmaceuticals.
Oh. What?
Well, look, everybody's
you hide
got
them.
You've got everybody has something in their
cupboard,
in their medicine cupboard, and not to say it's illegal or weird or whatever, but you just go if it's not just toothpaste and deodorant, if it's a something that you've got for. I don't know, but you've had to go to a doctor to get prescribed for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's a
panicking.
I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head. Oh, here's the thing. Got a weird wart on my arms. Driving me bloody crazy.
Ew.
I took a thing to freeze it off.
Oh, I can see it.
I know.
Is
now
it there?
It's now all you can look at. Look at that.
Ew.
It's gross. Disgusting, right? So I've got this.
Foul.
I got this wart stuff to get rid of it.
Sure.
I don't want that as the first. I had this thing of if you're gonna look, what are you gonna look in? Top drawer. First thing you do, open up the top drawer. Mm. I call that the safe drawer. It's just the very generic drawer. Anything that would go in any other drawer, I put somewhere else in the house. I'm not telling you where.
Do you know my...
Because I don't want someone going, oh, is it Rove's place? Wart cream.
My ex-boyfriend bought me for Christmas. We said, oh, we won't get each other presents, blah, 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 because we're going away.
Uh-huh.
Anyway... I still bought him like a pair of like Havaianas and Family Guy DVD and fake tan because he used to wear fake tan. It was effing hilarious and I thought I was being a real prankster.
That's fun.
Anyway, he bought me wart freeze because I had a rice bubble on my leg.
Nice.
And I thought it was cute.
That's
and
a
I
great
really
thing.
Liked my rice.
I appreciate
rice.
And respect that.
I really liked my rice bubble.
So going back to that though.
And then he's like, oh, I don't like it. I'm like, I really like it. It's cute. Are you kidding?
If you're in a relationship and you agree not to do presents, but then the girl gives the presents, would you get angry at the guy for not giving a present, even though you agreed?
No, I wouldn't get angry, but I was annoyed
because they never mean it.
Yeah.
They want something.
Yeah.
No, I actually didn't really care. I was just more annoyed that he's just like, oh, I got your wart freeze. That's the only thing I've got.
I thought you said it was cute. Oh, your wart was cute.
My wart was cute.
Oh, I thought you thought the present was cute.
No, it was like a cute little rice bubble. Oh. It was adorable.
What did you call
it? Do you still have it?
No, because I froze it off.
Oh, you did? So you used it?
Yeah.
So it was actually a helpful gift.
But I like my rice bubble. He just hated it. I used to have one on my leg. I had two on my fingers, a giant one there. Then I used a different wart one because I had it removed earlier because it was huge. And then my whole finger got infected. It was hilarious.
This one on my arm just came out of nowhere. And it was just after, I thought it was like a little, I don't know, like a pimply thing or just a blocked pore sort of something. Yep. And yeah, just got to the point where I think it might not even be, but I was like, I think it's a wart. I'm just going to burn it off.
Yeah.
And it's still sitting there. We had to watch Jamie eat today. And the consensus is Jamie eats like a baby.
Oh, it got to 7 o'clock and I had not eaten, so I was shoving hangry. I was shoving it in my mouth. I was so hungry.
But you put so much in it, then spilled
it
out.
It spilled out a little bit. I was eating oats.
So
and you're
gross.
Doing two things at once. Your hands are full, so you can't catch it. And you're trying to slurp oats back out of his mouth.
I listened to your Delta Goodrum stitch up about 17,000 times. I thought it was so funny.
So did I.
I thought it was so funny. I seriously, it just makes me cringe every single time.
So I guess what we're saying is, if you work, why wouldn't you look at the sensitive material and can you really trust what you put in those bins?
I cringe every single time I listen back to the show, to myself, so don't feel bad. Oh, I mean, you should still, because it's embarrassing.
So what are you saying Jamie should be cringing about?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Just him in general.
It was funny. No, claps to everyone involved.
Claps to everyone.
No, I don't like it,
though. Okay, Olivia.
What? You don't? What?
Our caller from today.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't know if you'll hear it.
That was funny. You should put that in.
What was it?
That was funny. Well, workplace dummy spits.
Oh, yeah, I'll put that in.
Oh, you're so... I hate you.
Oh, man.
No, it was a really good stitch up. Like, I legit...
You're so...
Thought,
okay. No,
here's
stop.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem.
Stop.
What?
I feel that this place is like school.
Sure.
There's the cool kids, there's the not cool kids, there's the teachers.
God, I wish there was a bell to make you let out at 3.
And then...
I had to go.
And it feels like bullying. I just don't like pranks.
Pranks are funny.
I hate pranks. Sure. I think pranks are dumb. I don't... If you want to do a prank, do a prank. I don't want to be involved in a prank. I don't want to ever be pranked. I just don't dig pranks. Just don't. I'm not a fan. Because to me...
Yeah, but the Jamie and Delta Goodrum thing was pretty funny.
Here's the significantly edited catch-up.
Rove and Sam. Thanks for catching up on your favourite show on this podcast. Now, if you're a tragic Twitterer, you upload on Instagram or you stream all your favourite songs, you're going to love this deal from Ovo Mobile. Switch to an Ovo data sim now and you'll score an unbelievable 50 gigs for $59.95 on 4G. No contracts, no catches, and no more text telling you about the additional $10 for 1 gig added to your already expensive phone plans. Can I get an amen? And as if that isn't brilliant enough, Ovo is going to give you the first month half price. So let's break this down. One whole month to enjoy 50 gigs on 4G for just $59.95, and the first month half price. 50 gigs of YouTube, social media, FaceTime, Tinder, whatever you want on the World Wide Web for half the price I know I was paying before I made the switch. ilovedata.com.au. You can open up the website right now while we get back to your favourite show.
Rove and Sam.
Today we're joined by two of the lads from the iconic series Jackass, Dave England and Preston Lacey, who are in town for their new live show. These guys have become famous all over the world and pretty much for doing the things we all did as kids. If only my cousin Gary had stuck with lighting his farts, he might be a massive star now, instead of a successful accountant in Perth. See? This is what happens when you don't follow your dreams, Gary, you loser. We got Preston and Dave from Jackass joining us now. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Preston, to become part of the Jackass crew, is there an audition process where you have to be, like, kicked in the balls or something? How does it work?
No, it was really casted by Johnny Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
He picked people mainly from the skateboarding and snowboarding industry, put together a show, and he just thought I was funny. And he asked me to write ideas, and I said, sure, I wrote some ideas. And he goes, you have to do all these. And I was like, that sounds crappy.
How does a Jackass brainstorming session work when it comes to writing ideas?
Like this morning, we were just sitting around talking and, you know, coming up with ideas, and you jot them down, and whatever works, works.
Does it start with, let's get electrodes, or what could we fall off or jump off? Because surely, you guys must have done everything by now, Dave.
I remember, that reminds me of one time we were driving in the van to, you know, one location to the other. It was 2 a.m, and I looked over at Jeff Tremaine, and I said, you know, it'd be funny to eat all the ingredients to an omelet raw, puke them into a frying pan, cook it up, and eat it. He's like, that's a great idea. We're filming that. 7 a.m. in the morning, knock, knock, knock on my hotel room. They have a portable stove and everything, and we filmed it. So that's kind of how it happens a lot of times.
What's the worst thing you've ever had to do, Preston?
Oh, well, the most physical thing was I got kicked in the face with a football by an NFL kicker and knocked me out for a couple minutes. And then the weirdest, freakiest thing I ever did was I had a pig eat an apple out of my ass.
And those were like just a couple days apart.
Once you cross that farm animal threshold, man, yes. It is just, there's no going back.
Oh, amen, brother.
I love that day.
Now, you guys are obviously here for your live shows. Now, most of this, of course, it's not like a Jim Rose circus or something. We're not going to see live stunts, are we?
It's more just very, you guys, you know, night to night, what we're feeling, what the crowd is feeling. Like, it's
so,
you
on
know,
the right night,
open.
you could be throwing up or shitting on stage, and everyone goes home happy. But otherwise, it's what, Tales from the Road, working behind the scenes, that type of thing.
Well, you said big stunts. The throwing up and the poop is a nightly thing. Yes, of course.
That's there's nothing big about that. That's day.
Yeah, we do. We get, you know, audience participation going, and just, you know, it varies. Like I said, it's just it's a pretty spontaneous thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, speaking of spontaneous, we were going to do a little quiz with you guys. It was going to be a staple gun quiz where basically if you get a question wrong, it gets stapled to your opponent. I realize you guys, it's something everybody asks you to do every single day of the week. But then you said, well, why don't you do it? You know what? I think I'm willing to have one of you staple something to my arm to just experience what it is like.
I'm so happy right now.
Okay. Why don't you take these questions?
Okay, these questions are all like Australian
questions.
No,
not all of them. Just do one thing.
We'll do one question. All right.
Okay.
What's the capital of California?
It is Sacramento.
Ah, you got it right.
Dang it. Get a better one.
So that mean I staple something to you?
I didn't think you'd get it.
All right.
Go ahead. You can do it. Come on.
Yeah.
How does it work?
Since I asked the question that you got,
Preston's going to get.
What do I do?
You're going to staple that piece of paper to. Yes.
Ready?
Oh, my God. Oh! It worked.
That's my fault for asking that question.
That's on for life. That's like a tattoo.
I've changed my mind. I'm not doing this now. Boys, that looks painful. Well, good luck with the shows. I've stapled the plug to your arm, but you're going to be at the DYRSL. Catch the Jackass Seppo Tour. It is October 26th.
The filthy Seppo Tour.
At DYRSL. Tickets are on sale now. Thank you very much, David Preston.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, have a great run. Thank you very much.
Roven Sam. Scoopla.
Hey guys, welcome to my Scoopla Entertainment News. Just a Kim Kardashian update about the Paris story. So the latest news is that the police have found DNA evidence inside the Paris apartment. And it comes as the French police have launched their investigation. Mm. Khloe Kardashian appeared on Ellen and spoke about her sister Kim's.
Sorry, can I recap? What was the evidence?
Well, I don't know. They're just looking around. They found DNA evidence, but I don't have it on this little sheet.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
You really threw me for six then. I basically just want to get to...
I just heard evidence. They found evidence.
Well, they did. They found some DNA evidence. They've got to draw the, you know, get their map and draw some lines and stuff.
Sure.
Basically, I just needed a segue to get to this Khloe Kardashian. The producers are frowning at me going, Sam, come on.
Can I say this? Every year in...
I did need a segue.
Every year, this time of year, it's Halloween. And it's always what's going to be the big Halloween costume of the year.
Yeah.
This year, they're already saying there is a Kim Kardashian being held hostage Halloween costume.
That's disgusting.
Jamie the button pusher.
Don't laugh at that. That's disgusting.
And wonder Delta Goodrum didn't want to date you.
That's disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself. I'm going to send this little bit to your parents and they can name and shame. They'll ground you or whatever they do. Goodness me. It's a very serious issue. But guys, Chloe appeared on Ellen yesterday. This is where I was going with this.
I knew we were going somewhere.
To discuss where they're at as a family and deciding to pull back on social media.
Incredibly traumatic what happened to her, but our family is super close and great, and we'll get through it together. And I think it is important to maybe make those adjustments and pull back a little bit, I think, is always smart.
See, Jamie, it's traumatic.
Sorry, I just have to make a...
What are you doing?
Sorry. Siri, call bullshit. So I'm just calling bullshit, guys.
Lena Dunham from Girls. What did she say back?
He said, I have no contact for bullshit on your phone. Thank God, what if it called our boss? Calling Mando. Oh, no.
He's probably called Instagram, guys. Come on. Lena Dunham from Girls appeared on The Late Night with Seth Meyers yesterday, and she revealed that while filming one particular episode, she injured herself so badly during a sex scene that she had to see a specialist.
I was basically telling my scene partner I could do physical things that I can't actually do. Okay. I was like, you can't hurt me. This is going to be hilarious. And he was like, is this like really going to be comfortable for you? And I was like, I may not seem athletic, but I'm a beast. And do not worry about my body at all. The next morning I woke up and something was very wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
I don't want to know. Just you got hurt. I don't know. I don't want to know where. I don't want to know how. Just was.
Justin Timberlake has admitted that he would never have written his hit Can't Stop the Feeling if it wasn't for being a father. He appeared on the US Today show and he was asked about whether or not being a father changes the way that you write music.
It changes everything. You literally just like wake up, look in the mirror and go, I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah, it changes everything. I would have never written a song like Can't Stop the Feeling.
What are you going to say right now?
It just sounded really creepy. It sounded like I was lying in bed and he just rolled over and just gone, oh, it's really good to be a father. I've written this song. Look, I've said it 1,000 times. How good is sex?
It's great.
If not for sex, we wouldn't have had wonderful music from
exactly.
Justin Timberlake.
Exactly.
I'm glad he's had sex. I'm glad he's fertile. I'm so happy for everyone.
Well, that's a little messy, but
we're apparently getting the wind up, guys.
Todayfm.com.au to find out more things.
Jinx is coming up after 7 for your chance to share a grand. Moving on. Pretend it never happened. This is why you shouldn't listen to the show.
Rogan Sam.
Sam, I've had a checkered history when it comes to love and relationships.
Oh.
You love tales of Young Rove back in the day.
I do. I love Young Rove so much.
He was a bit green. He was a bit naive.
Aww.
He didn't know where it was or what he was meant to do with it. But I had a girlfriend in high school. Thank you. And just the one. Seriously, just the one. Just the one. And it ended at a very awkward time. I was around, I think, 14, 15, you know, just sort of heading into year 11, 12, the important time in your life. I decided to start the school year with a camp. To prepare us for the senior start to school, let's send all the kids to camp. First thing they do before even day one of school, they're away for the weekend to bond.
Yeah.
Day one, it's Valentine's Day. Well, that means me and my girlfriend have to exchange cards. I have a card, she has a card. All my friends are all hanging out. She says to my friends, hey, come into the dorm. I've got a little something I need to tell you. There's a meeting going on. I'm not included. I'm like, here we go. It's a big surprise. Can't wait for this. Well, she's probably got something special planned. Hopeless romantic, aren't we all? I've got a nice card. There it is. And then my friends come out. They walk straight past. I'm like, they don't want to say anything. Don't want to spoil the surprise. Make eye contact. I get it. Poker face. Okay, Rovi's turn to step on in. Don't mind if I do. I hand her my card. She opens it. It is essentially my heart in words.
Oh, cutie.
She hands me a card and says, well, here's yours. Thank you very much, I say. Lovely little Garfield motif on the front. He's dressed as Cupid.
Who doesn't love Garfield?
A lot of people now.
Oh.
He's dressed as Cupid, covered in love hearts. I open it up and basically, in a nutshell, it says, you're dumped. Happy Valentine's Day. And anyway.
That's awful.
Day one of camp was a little bit awkward after that, as you can imagine.
That's awful.
Everybody knew knew about it. So anyway, I've handed her my heart and she went, let me set it on fire, crush it, make you eat it, throw it up and put it back in whatever hollow is left in your chest. I'm not bitter about it, Sam. Anyway, cut to many, many years later, she gets a call from her sister saying, did you dump Rove McManus on a school camp on Valentine's Day? She says, yeah, why? And the sister says, because he's talking about it on television right now. I think that means I win, Sam. I win.
I love it. That's so funny.
Which, it's like, I don't remember telling the story necessarily, but obviously I've mentioned her by name.
Name and shame,
if her,
Rove.
If her sister has gone, I wonder if that's the same one as my sister, and has then given her a call.
Oh, my goodness. That is brilliant. And then it's like, well, that's what happens when you put salt on a poor, broken heart.
Exactly. That's what she did. She ripped out my heart and she started grinding it and she said, say when.
Oh. And then you keep saying stop, 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 and then you keep going because you actually said say when.
Exactly.
And you don't
right.
actually ever say when.
That's exactly right. So needless to say that I think I've done okay for myself, and it certainly makes me feel better about that maybe my heart has been broken in the past.
Exactly.
So I would like to know if anyone has been through a similar situation. Maybe you are the one who broke up with someone and now you regret it because they're doing okay, Sam Frost. Is your ex more successful than you? 131060, we'd love to hear your tales.
Rove and Sam.
Grace, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your story? Are you more successful than your ex?
Definitely not.
Uh-oh, it's the other way around.
What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. I was with Barry for, 3 years, telling him to get a job all the time. How do you like just sitting around all the time? So we broke up. Hooly-dooly, I check on him. He's running this friggin' high multi-million-dollar company, with Master at Home. He's friggin' loaded.
Grace, it's probably your fault. You probably told him to get off his ass, and he went, okay, boom, now he's a millionaire.
I know. So jealous.
How does it make you feel, Grace?
What's his name? Barry.
Like crap.
Like crap. I'm just hoping I'm scratching that scratchy, Rove.
Now, had you been keeping in touch with Barry in the meantime?
No, I can see him on Facebook. He's sort of keeping it a bit private now.
I bet he bloody is.
Oh, Barry.
But he was a dickhead though, right?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Definitely.
But still, you just go, go away, slime ball.
Jeez, that's got to sting.
Laura in Maryland's, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, are you more successful or is it your ex?
Oh, unfortunately, it's my ex.
Oh, okay. Tell us.
Okay, so when we were together, he used to be obsessed with playing footy with the boys. Mm-hmm. So on weekends, he'll dog date night to go down to the park, play footy with the boys, and I was so sick of it, just hearing about it, watching him play or whatever. And then now he's gone off to play professionally.
Oh.
And he's earning heaps of money off it.
Do we know who he is? Are we not allowed to say?
I'm getting the
cutthroat thing.
Oh, it's so brutal.
So, I want to, but I can't.
Oh, man, alive. But he's doing all right now, is he?
Oh, that's...
He is.
And then you thought, man, I should have been more supportive, hey?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Could you see the talent, though, back in the day, Laura, or did you just hate it?
Oh, look, to be honest, I'm not a footy fan follower, so I wouldn't know what's good or bad on the field.
Sure.
You're preaching to the choir,
yeah,
lady.
And just because he's successful doesn't mean, he could be his current partner could maybe never see him. Because maybe like you, Laura, maybe there's meant to be family gatherings and birthdays and
exactly.
other things that he's meant to be at. And he's off playing
Always
footy.
Always playing footy. And maybe he surcheats a lot. Who knows,
Maybe feels so much better.
Okay.
Well, you
good,
know
Laura.
What?
It's what we do here.
I just want to make you feel better, Laura. Thank
well,
you.
Commiserations to Laura and to Grace. Barry, I'm really intrigued by mysterious Barry making all these cash.
Barry, let's just go stalk Metricon Homes.
What kind of high-powered moneymaker is called Barry?
Let's go on LinkedIn and go, Barry, Metricon Homes.
Up next,
we'll
Kylie's fiancé, Joshua Sass.
Rove and Sam.
Sam, like many people, we became a little... we've jumped on board the bandwagon for Say I Do Down Under.
Absolutely. We're wearing our T-shirts right now.
As we saw with Margot Robbie on SNL.
Yes.
She was wearing the shirt, led us to ask the question, well, what's this about? Turns out Kylie Minogue's fiancé, Joshua Sass, from the wonderful series Gallivant, which I love, has started this campaign to raise awareness about why we are the only developed nation in the Western world without marriage equality. We got some shirts, they got excited, and we've decided to get him on the line to tell us all about it. Joshua, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, man. Thanks.
Now, Rove and I are proudly wearing our Say I Do Down Under t-shirts right now. How did this campaign all start?
Through learning that it was still illegal and wanting to do something about it. You know, I thought we were at a stage in the world where this wasn't the case, and that was my lack of education. And when I learned better, I thought I could do something about it. So I tried, and, you know, luckily something's come out of it, and here we are.
I know, as Australians, we are actually quite embarrassed about this on a world level. It feels like it's quite a shameful thing for us. What is the perception from those outside Australia about the fact that we don't have marriage equality here?
Well, I think people are just surprised because we're such a forward-thinking nation in general. I think people are just shocked that it's still the case. I mean, you know, and the sad thing is that it's actually not rare. There are 76 countries in the world that have anti-homosexuality laws. You know, I think it's 8 of which carry the death penalty. So many countries within Europe, big countries like Germany and Austria and Hungary and Poland and Greece and Italy, you know, where it's still illegal, it's the same. So it's just a real surprise.
And you have had a lot of support from other people in the entertainment industry. Who are some of the big names who have gotten on board this campaign? Obviously, myself and Sam included.
Okay. Yeah, well, you too. Sears come on board, and Ellen DeGeneres, and Margot Robbie, and Elton John is wanting to be a part of it. Ellie Goulding sent me a photo a couple of days.
And what did it mean to you to see Margot Robbie on SNL wearing the Say I Do Down Under shirt?
She's such a hero for doing that. It just means the world, because it's such a vote of confidence for what we're doing and spreading the message to so many people. And the same with Ellen. You know, Ellen has 68 million followers, and it's brilliant. And, you know, it's not surprised necessarily, because, you know, you really hope that these people get behind it, but it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Everyone wants this change. I mean, 75% of Australians already support marriage equality, and that's like 23.5 million people. Turnbull was talking about his choice to respect the Senate, and I was like, well, why don't you respect the people? Because the people are the Senate, you know. You're supposed to be representing the people, so do it.
Yeah, and we've just had the plebiscite, which was put forward by the government. It got blocked by the opposition, which seems like the whole issue could now be dead in the water. It's terrifying.
Having the plebiscite knocked down, I think, is a step in the right direction, because, I mean, the plebiscite in of itself was going to cost, you know, around $200 million, which, you know, that could pay 433 nurses for 4 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that in itself is definitely a step in the right direction, but, you know, we just hope it's not going to get caught up and that it will run on for that long. And that's, I think, it kind of our responsibility as Australians, as everybody else, to stand up and try and do something about it.
Now, are you one of those people? I have a lot of friends who are very much, well, I won't get married until everybody can get married. Is that the status that you sit at?
Look, I don't know what anybody else is doing, and I wouldn't, you know, don't tell anyone else what to do, but that's something me and Kylie decided because we're running this campaign, and that you know, it wouldn't be ethical for us to go and get married. That's not fair, and it's all about equality and fairness, and that's just what we're doing. And look, if anyone else chooses to do it, then you know, good on them, and if they don't, that's fine too. That's not holding it against somebody getting married and expressing their love, but this is what we're doing. That's all.
Well, I can certainly say that if you two were to get married, you already feel like you are an ambassador for our country when it comes to same-sex marriage at the very least. But apart from that, I think honorary Aussie is already a title bestowed upon you. Congratulations.
Well, that's really nice of you, man. It's something I hold dear.
Well, thank you very much for this campaign, and hopefully it can see some real change. We really appreciate you taking this on board, and we support it wholeheartedly.
Thank you for wearing the shirts and for being part of it and help spreading the word. And I hope everyone listening sort of looks up online to the Say I Do Down Under website and orders their T-shirt and helps donate towards this and spread the word. Spread the love.
Can do. Thanks very much, Joshua Sass.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Rove and
Sam. 15 minutes time. We got questions with a porn addict.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
Sam is excited.
No, I was. I'm just laughing because I was thinking about all the guys listening, going, "Oh yeah, I can relate."
Hey, Nick Kyrgios, what is his deal? If you saw this footage from him playing at the Shanghai Masters, it's been described as pathetic and a total disgrace. It looked like he didn't even know how to play tennis. He was serving like my nan would serve,
limp arm
fry pan serves, and he would walk off the court before the return had even happened. Looked like he didn't even want to be there, to the point where the umpire has even called him out on it.
Nick, we can't play like that, okay? It's just... Nick!
Oh, he's like a spoiled brat.
Being told off by his parent
exactly.
At tennis training. Now, Nick afterwards tried to explain why he was playing so badly like this.
Like, it's my choice. If you don't like it, I don't ask you to come watch. Just leave. If you're so good at giving advice and so good at tennis, why aren't you as good as me? Why aren't you on the tour?
Oh.
Look, mate, watching you play yesterday, I could have beat you. Well,
he also engaged with like someone in the audience and started having, like, I think it was about 10 minutes, he was like having a verbal argument with someone from the crowd saying, because they said go home, because he was acting like a child. He's like a spoilt brat. I find it unbelievable, to be honest. And his response is, well, I don't see you playing on the world tour. Mate, get over yourself. Stop being such a child.
He went down 6-3, 6-1. Why is he even on the world tour at the moment? But he said it was because his arm was a little bit sore. I seem to think it's his game isn't doing that well. It's getting away from him. Maybe he's being beaten by someone who he thinks is not as good as him, and out comes the dummy.
But you know what? This is his place of work, and it made me think, guys, you know what I love? Stories about people spitting the dummy at work. I love it. It's so fun. People have a little temper tantrum.
Sure.
Start kicking and screaming their legs. I love it. I want to hear the stories. 13, 10, 60, workplace dummy spits.
We broke a teacher once. And as a substitute teacher, of course. Always happens.
I feel so sorry for substitute teachers.
It was an older bloke. Should have known better. We're in year 7.
Yeah.
And so, you know, puberty's just kicking into gear, hormones running rampant. And we're just mucking around. But he just literally walked out the door. He just put the chalk down. He has literally just walked out the door to the point where all of us would just went, oh, what just happened? He's gone to the principal's office, told us off, and the principal, after like 15 minutes of us just being left in the class by ourselves, the principal had to come in and say, he's gone home. I have to take over the class now.
Broke a teacher.
Broke a bloody teacher. That was a cracker of a dummy spit.
Cody.
Producer Cody reckons she has... This happened in the building, right?
Yeah, a few years ago. It wasn't me.
That's okay.
We just
assumed it was, but sure.
What do you mean it wasn't you?
No, so I was working with another producer who just had a bad day, and she was like, oh, I hate this place. It sucks. I hate the building. I hate everyone. I'm going to get a Froyo. And she went downstairs and sat at the frozen yogurt place, and our boss had to go and sit with her and bring her back.
Okay, the big takeaway from this is there's a frozen yogurt place in the building?
Nah, closed down.
Yeah, after that, it would.
She drove away business. Ay-ay-ay.
All right, let's hear it. 13, 10, 60. What is your or another experience you've had with a dummy spit at work?
Rogan Sam.
Olivia and Crow's Nest, good morning.
What's up?
Olivia, welcome to the show. What's your dummy spit? Was it you or someone else?
It was someone else. It was when I was in high school and it was our principal at an assembly.
Nice.
What did he do?
So basically the whole school is in the hall having assembly. And she's making some announcements, people are getting awards, and all of a sudden, everyone just starts applauding at everything that happens. And we just wouldn't stop.
Classic.
And like, I'm year 12, I think it was towards the end of the year, so year 12 was just like...
Genius.
Trying to ruin her day, I guess.
So
but
funny.
Yeah, everyone just kept applauding, and then she was freaking out. She'd only been at the school for like... 3 to 6 months, I think. But she hadn't quite got a wrap on, like, how we were.
So what did she do?
She flipped out and tried to get all the other teachers. She started crying. And then eventually she just stormed off stage and we were all just still applauding her. She walked off stage. Too good.
Oh, Olivia, I love it. I love it because it's so simple. And, yeah, and I can...
You can't get mad at applause.
Everything's just so amazing.
What would have been great is... As she left it, then everyone stood as they applauded. Yeah. Would have been icing on the cake. Thank you very much.
Ovation. I love it. Jack, good morning.
Morning.
Hey. So when is it someone that you know?
Yeah, so this was I'm back at work last year. So I work in the bank, and this was when I was a teller. Uh-huh. Now, one day, the teller next to me was having a really bad day. Everyone was giving them trouble over something that happened on the weekend with the banking system.
Sure.
And then halfway through the day, he got into a full-blown argument with a customer. And he kind of ended with, he just told the customer, you and me in the back parking lot right now.
Yes!
What?
Oh, my God. You'd think you could take a bank teller, but you never know.
A bank teller?
Jack, so what happened?
They seem so calm.
Jack, was the challenge accepted?
No, and then like the manager heard the argument and stormed out. No, you, sir. I'm going to have to leave the branch now.
Oh, do you know what? Because I hear if you actually challenge someone who works at a bank, they can't go any further than the little chain that's tied to them anyway. So he wouldn't have made it to the car park.
That's hilarious. Rachel in Blue Mountains, who had a dummy spit?
Hi, guys. Well, I used to work in this office that was a client-facing role. Everyone had their own client.
Mm-hmm.
So if you left or anything like that, you had to leave on the day. And there was a guy that had been working there for about 6 months, and he obviously hadn't enjoyed his time very much. And they called him into the office, and everybody kind of had an idea of what was happening. And they sighed, and he's walked out, and he's gone over to his desk, and he's picked up all his stuff. And then just as he's leaving, before he goes down the stairs, everybody's kind of standing around. He starts pointing at everybody and points one by one and goes, you're an asshole, and you're an asshole, and you're an asshole. And then he gets to, like, the last girl, and he's like, hey, you're okay, actually. Bye, guys. I'm just leaving.
That is my favourite thing. I've never seen it happen, but I love the idea of as soon as you walk out, you just go, you know what I really think about you?
Yeah.
Have
it's like
Jerry
he wanted to
McGuire
say it all
moment.
Along.
Oh, brilliant.
Burn that bridge. Nice one, Rachel.
I'm telling you, workplace dummy spits is hilarious.
We have a lot more people on the line who would love to tell us their story. Get in touch with us at Roven Sam.
Roven Sam. I have a quest for questions. Questions with
Sam. Interesting people with interesting stories to tell. This is one of those. Absolutely. A man who for 10 years was addicted to porn.
Right.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of guys who would be listening going, I love porn. But where does it cross the line? Let's find out. He's on the line now. Jason Huxley, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi there. How are you going?
So, to that point, where is it that you realise this isn't just me being a bloke and enjoying watching some sex? It's now become a problem.
I realised that it was consuming, you know, multiple hours of my day. I was spending up to 8 hours a day viewing, and ultimately it led me to a point where I felt like my wife wasn't good enough. I felt like she wasn't good enough in the bedroom, and I sat her down one night to kind of split up with her and feeling a little bit guilty about watching so much porn behind her back.
When you say 8 hours a day, how did you even manage that with work?
Yeah, well, at the time I was working for myself, so I was actually working from a home office.
Okay.
So I had the option to do work or do not do work.
Sure.
And how did she take the news that you were addicted to porn?
She, at the time, I mean, we argued and things, but at the time she said, you know, I'm not going to walk away on you, like you're not going to get away with this. You're going to have to deal with it, because if you don't, you're just going to destroy your life. You've had a pretty good go at it already. And so we came up with a bit of a plan where she would actually take the ADSL modem from me every day when she went to work and then bring it back at night so that I couldn't get my access in the day. But then I went and bought another modem, didn't I?
Jason, when was the point that you said no? Draw the line. This is it.
For me, it was there was a one significant day I'd been painting on the outside of the house. beautiful sunny day. And yeah, I was meant to be painting all day, and I literally spent the whole day viewing porn, and got to the end of the day and I suddenly realised that I had to come up with an excuse as to why I hadn't done any painting. And it suddenly struck me at that point that I couldn't remember the last time I told the truth in our marriage. I'd just been covering up for years, you know, telling lies and things in it. And so it was at that point that I decided I've got to do something. So,
just quickly, where are you and the family at now, your wife in particular? How are things for you guys?
Yeah, we're doing really good. And we've got two little daughters, and they're my treasures, because had I been able to instigate my plan and had my amazing wife not stood up for me and made me deal with myself, I most certainly wouldn't have that. So I'm very grateful for the incredible compassion that she showed, because she had every reason to pick up and walk away. And sometimes I wonder why she didn't, but I'm just so grateful that she didn't.
There you go.
I love it. It's so beautiful. I'm so happy that you and the wife are doing well.
Absolutely. Jason, very pleased to hear that your story has a happy ending and that you are helping others to do the same. Guiltypleasure.org. If you feel you too have a pornography addiction, you can fight it, and there are people like Jason who are willing to help you. Thank you very much for telling your story, mate. Yeah. We appreciate it. Thanks
for
your time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Rogan Sam.
May I have your attention, please?
Your call will be answered by the next available representative.
Ah! Rose Complaints Department, please hold.
It's official. My complaints department, open for business. Sam, I like to stand up for the little man. You know that.
You do. Who are you taking on today? You've had IKEA.
IKEA. NASA.
NASA, one of my favies.
I've called Kit Kats about taking a break. How long is this break? We just need a bit of help sometimes.
Clarity.
And just the people listening right now must be thinking to themselves, yeah, I feel the same, Rove. Stick it to the man. Be there to help us.
Yep. Well,
that's what I do on a daily basis. Haven't done this in a while. You know, called someone that maybe is a big target that you think I'd be too scared to touch. Well. Talking about scary clowns taking the world by storm. There's one clown in particular, works under the Golden Arches.
Oh, McDonald's?
Exactly right.
What on earth has McDonald's done wrong?
Well, Sam, to say I'm not happy about them would be taking things literally. Let's call them. I got a complaint to make.
Thank you for calling McDonald's. To tell us about your experience at a McDonald's restaurant, just say feedback. You can also say restaurant address and phone information, mobile app
feedback.
Help, or...
Thank you for calling McDonald's. This is Brandy. How may I assist you?
Oh, I'm not happy.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear about that, but I'd be glad to help you. Call and tell me about your experience.
So I was having a bit of a day. Dog ran away. It was wet. It was raining. Miserable. Boss has been a jerk. Come into your store. Just down in the dumps. And then I see a little slogan, little sign. It says Happy Meal. I bought it. Didn't make me any happier.
Okay. And I'm sorry to hear that. We always want you to have a good experience.
But I just thought, you know... It's fair for me to think a Happy Meal would make me happy, but it didn't.
You know, and I'm sorry to hear that, but I would be glad to share your feedback on that.
Yeah, but why? Like, it's called a Happy Meal. It just makes sense. I bought a Big Mac. It was big. I'd bought fries. They were fried. I bought a Happy Meal. Well, I expect that to... But no. As we say, bet bow. Am I right, Brandy? Bam, bam. You know what I mean? Like on Family Feud? Bam, bam.
Right.
You know? So. You know what I mean? You know the noise, right?
Right.
Sorry, make the noise. Can you make me the noise so I know that I'm making it right, please? Bam, bam.
And I would be glad to share this feedback. And I'd like to get your name and address as a record of the call. Can I start by getting your first name?
Well, I just want it explained to me, though. Like... Why is it called a Happy Meal?
And unfortunately, I can't, you know, speak to that, but I mean...
Doesn't it suggest that it makes you happy? If I open up the box and the cheeseburger's like, hello! Like, the meal itself could be happy. But instead, Brandy, ba-bow. You know what I'm saying?
And is this a legitimate business call?
Oh, trust me, it is.
Okay. This call is being recorded and being documented.
Yeah, sure. As it should. Okay. Because I don't understand if you're promising happiness. Because then, I thought maybe because it's pretty small. Like, it's probably a little bit too small a meal for me. So I thought, oh, I know, maybe I didn't have enough. So I ordered 6, and then I just felt sick. Brandy.
I don't believe this to be a legitimate business call.
Is it because I'm saying call, a lot?
This call, you're calling on a recorded business line, and this call is being documented and being recorded, and this call will be terminated. Thank you.
Bam, bam. That was close.
Thank you for participating in our customer satisfaction survey.
Oh, Brandy!
Maybe that was that's all Brandy could do is just pop, pop. That I did not expect.
Wake up, get up.
Rove and Sam.
That was radio gravy.
Like Rove and Sam on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram
@Rove and Sam.